Hey guys, this is Shru and you are listening to Bioscope. In this episode, we are going to talk about the cute, adorable, tiny, yet feisty birds, the hummingbird. I first got intrigued to learn more about these birds when they built a nest in my workplace a year ago. The size of the nest was so small as a walnut shell, yet so sturdy, and in them grew two beautiful hummingbirds. The more I read about them, the more fascinated I was. I am so excited to share their lives and origins with you. And I'm sure we can all take back a lesson or two from their way of life. So let's dive right in. Hummingbirds get their name from the humming sound their wings make as they fly. If you've spotted a hummingbird, you are most likely located in the Americas. They used to exist in different parts of the world, but now they're only found in the northern and southern Americas. They belong to the order of Apodiformes. In Greek, that means unfooted birds. They use their feet only to perch, and majority of the times, they use their wings to move from one place to another. Everything about the hummingbirds is extreme. They are so tiny, they fly so fast, they travel thousands of miles just for food, their heart beats so fast. They are the perfect example of evolution. They fly as fast as 27 miles per hour, with their wings beating at 70 times per second. And their hearts, they beat at 225 beats per minute at rest. And when they are flying long distance, that can go as high as 1,000 beats per minute. These tiny birds are so full of energy. Can you guess how much they weigh? Let me give you a hint. As much as 4 raisins. Yes, on average, they weigh about 4 grams. To maintain their weight for the amount of flying and the energy they expend, they require a lot of food. They rely mainly on nectars of flowers to meet their energy demands. 10% of the times, they do feed on small insects. The feeders that we have in our backyards have also become a major food source for them lately, especially in the urban and suburban areas. Nectars from flowers, you might wonder. How does the nectar meet their energy demands? Because of their light body weights, they eat about 3 to 7 calories per day. It might sound very less, but in human terms, that is about 155,000 calories a day. That is not the best situation to be if there is a lack of food resources. But nature always has a way, right? To avoid starvation and death, they have adapted to go into torpor. Torpor is a very deep, sleep-like state where the metabolic functions slow down, they have very low body temperature that's maintained. If torpor lasts for long periods of time, we would call it hibernation. But hummingbirds go into torpor any night of the year when the temperature and the food conditions demand it. There are 300 or more different species of hummingbirds. When you spot a hummingbird in your backyard with really bright, attractive colors, they are male hummingbirds. The female hummingbirds, on the other hand, have boring, cryptic colors. But hey, there is an evolutionary advantage to this. They do not want to attract too much attention when they are especially taking care of their little ones. Hummingbirds, personality-wise, are extremely solitary birds. The males are very territorial. They even travel thousands of miles alone. Now, when you spot a hummingbird, especially a male, most likely they will be territorial towards their feeders and their flowers, and they will not let any other hummingbird to share their food source. They're very fierce and they fight. More than half of the hummingbird species live in the tropics. Most of the hummingbirds we find in our own backyards eventually migrate to the tropics where they can spend most of their autumn and winter times. This is to mainly avoid sub-freezing temperatures in North America. Ruby-throated hummingbirds, for example, start their migratory journey around August or September. They fly all the way to Mexico and Central America. Some of them might stop in the southern states of the USA. This is due to old age or if they are too immature. There is one type of hummingbird that's extremely fascinating, and that is the Rufous hummingbird. They make one of the longest migratory trips in the bird world. They travel all the way from Alaska to Mexico every single year, a whooping 3,900-mile journey. Can you imagine? I'm going to share with you two very fascinating stories of hummingbird migration. And one of it is how they are benefited from the coffee plantations in South America. As these birds migrate, they pass by tropical mountains, the coffee plantations, and the trees that provide shade to these coffee plantations. And these act as a huge flower resource for the hummers. The hummingbirds don't necessarily help in pollinating all the coffee plantations, but they do benefit immensely from them. In one of the coffee-growing regions in Peru, Smithsonian Migratory Bird Center scientists recorded 24 species over the course of 1 year. So the next time you have coffee from South America, think about the hummingbirds that might have benefited from it. The second very interesting fact about hummingbird migration is that they have the largest hippocampal formation in the brain of any bird. Now, hippocampus is a part of the brain that is tied to spatial learning. Because of this, they remember the locations of the flowers and feeders, and they visit them year after year. Not only that, they even trace their migration pattern and repeat them for as long as they live. For a hummer that's just hatched, what triggers them to migrate? They don't have any memory of past migrations. But they have this instinctive urge to put on a lot of weight. And once they do put on a lot of weight and they have enough fat stores, they get the next instinct to sort of fly in a particular direction for a certain amount of time. And as they are flying, they then look for a good place to spend their winter. Eventually, all these young hummingbirds find their own route, and they do it all alone. Once they learn such a route, a bird may retrace it every year for as long as it lives. The initial urge is said to be triggered because of the seasonal changes, the shortening daylight time during autumn. It has nothing to do with the availability of food. So let's say you have a bird feeder in your backyard, a hummingbird feeder. That is not going to impact the migratory pattern of the bird. But there is one species of hummingbird that doesn't migrate from North America and spends the winters here, and that is the Anna's hummingbird. So if you find a hummingbird in the winter months, most likely that's an Anna hummingbird. They have adapted to feed from the feeders and using trees that bloom exclusively in the winter, like the blue gum eucalyptus. The very interesting fact here is that all these are man-made changes. The blue gum eucalyptus was brought to California from Australia, and the feeders are also man-made. So it's very interesting to learn the long-term impacts of our actions on birds and other animal species. Let's talk about where these hummingbirds came from. Where did they first originate from? Was it in Southern America? How did they evolve? The flowers and hummingbirds have a very interesting relationship. It's a process called coevolution. Now, as you know, flowers have existed long before the hummingbirds came in, and they were relying on other pollinators such as insects. But once the hummingbirds arrived, the plant species itself has diversified to adapt so that the hummingbirds can pollinate more and more of them. The hummingbird, in turn, gets help from the flowers by getting their nectar. So their species has also diversified, and this process is called coevolution. The oldest hummingbird fossil was found in Europe and Asia, which is said to be about 28 to 34 million years old. That is interesting because we don't find hummingbirds there anymore. Nobody knows why they migrated to the Americas, but there are a few theories. About 22 million years ago is when the first hummingbirds hit Southern America, most likely through Asia. About 12 million years ago, some of these hummingbirds migrated to Northern America. At that time, Southern and Northern America were not connected, so there was miles of water body between them that these hummingbirds have crossed. So there should be some reason to it. The most likely theory is that it is due to competition for food. As hummingbirds started diversifying and becoming more in number in Southern America, the competition for food became more and more, and some of these hummingbirds, in search of new resources, started migrating to Northern America. Now, about 5 million years ago, they invaded the Caribbeans. But why did they move to Southern America and flourish here in the first place? It could possibly be due to the rich diversity of flowering plants in South America. There are other interesting patterns of evolution that can be found in hummingbirds that are exclusively in Southern America that don't migrate towards the north. And this is the changes in the shape of their bills. If you look at the hummingbirds in North America, their bills are straight and long, and they are optimized to get nectar out of these flowering plants. If you look at the hummingbirds in Southern America, most of these bills have evolved to various shapes, serrated, hooked. Most of these birds use their bills not for optimizing nectar, but for fighting off other hummingbirds from their food sources. Now remember, plants do not always produce nectar, so evolution has given preference to having unique bills that provides advantage compared to the other hummingbirds. Now, these hummingbirds never cease to amaze. They are incredibly energetic, determined, and travel thousands of miles to survive all alone. They are real examples of evolution and survival of the fittest. But how does climate change impact hummingbirds? If plant bloom times change in response to climate change, do hummers adapt to feed from other nectar plants? Do their migratory patterns change? The National Audubon Society is a non-profit organization that studies hummingbirds and their migratory patterns. And you can act as a community scientist and provide data on hummingbirds you find in your backyard. The other ways you can help is by placing feeders in your backyard. As climate change alters the availability of flowering plants, bird feeders may become an increasingly important source of food for migrating hummingbirds. I have attached a useful link in the description to provide pointers on how to take care of the feeders. I really hope you found this helpful, and the next time you see a hummingbird, think of how much it endures on a daily basis to survive and adapt to this changing world.